Ma was just sharing something pretty special. Most of you will remember Andy and Butch Wright. And years and years ago when Elena got married, was Elena, they took, not here, but the church that she got married in, they took roses and they had all the petals and they made a path up to the altar. So the whole bridal party walked across those roses. Goes with the song that you guys just blessed us with. But after it was over, the church sent them this bill because they could never remove the stain from the roses of everybody walking up the aisle. It was just like dyed into the rug. So like a rose trampled on the ground. Well, good morning. Hebrews 11 is what we're going to be in. I hope you're getting blessed by this. Study in Hebrews. I hope that you're also digging in, other than this morning, to see what it is that God's got for us, not as a church alone, but as individuals. And as we're entering in, you know, we're talking about faith, all right? That's how this started off, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Now, he didn't describe the author of Hebrews. He didn't describe for us what religion was, did he? He talked an awful lot about religion prior to this and how fruitless it was. He talked, and this is by no means, what's the word that they use today? I didn't get it for dissing. Is that what you, when you do something? This is not slamming religion. And I want us to remember that as I go forward here. Religion is man's attempt to worship God in his way, by his thoughts, by his actions, by his moral standards, by what he feels is right, wrong, or indifferent. What the writer of Hebrews, and let's just say, you know, there's the argument, was it Paul? Was it the writer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's trying to get across to us that this is not religion. This is faith, and there's a drastic difference between saving faith and religion and all of our other kinds of faith that we have. Humanly acknowledging something is called faith. And what the Holy Spirit is trying to impart to us through this is faith. What is it? Have you ever really stopped and asked yourself, what is my faith? What is it? Oh, well, it's non-denominational, right? No, it's not. Well, it's my faith is Catholic. And don't ever forget, between Catholic and Presbyterian and Baptist and whatever other denominations or isms there are saved individuals within those structures or those organizations. But what the Spirit of God is trying to speak to us individually is that we need a saving faith. We don't need, to be a member of a certain ism for salvation. Now, again, remember, nothing wrong with anyone who sits in a pew or a chair in a church if they're saved. Rules, regulations, rituals, they have their purpose. But at the throne of grace, the one question is, what did you do with my son? Amen. Not how much you put in the pot, not how many times you went to Bible study. Amen. All these things are good. But the question is going to be, where's your faith? Did you put faith in my gift to mankind? Mankind. Think of that. Not just localized. So as we enter in today, we're going to be in verse 6. I won't try to go any further than that. I'm starting to learn that, me doing a chapter in the Bible on a Sunday, is anything too hard for God? No, but I can't do it because there's so much in here that I feel I need to know. After 43 years of walking with the Lord, I'm starting to really understand, Lord, I know nothing. I know nothing. Teach me. Open my heart. Open my understanding. Let me see what you're really trying to speak to us in this act of worship that I call faith that I have in you. And remember, again, it's not faith in me, what I know and what I can do, how many verses I have memorized, how many chords and words that these guys have. We're talking about faith in Jesus Christ, in God, his righteousness, his faithfulness, and what he is capable of. Because I think all of us, if we're blatantly honest, we know right well what we're capable of. And we're not capable of the things that we want to do, but we're more than capable of the things that we don't want to do. So now we have to take this faith that we can't see. You can't hold it. You can't. They say that, but I don't know about you. I've seen it. Have you? Yeah. I've tasted it. And he would never say that. And, you know, look at, oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. This goes beyond our five senses. This is a trust in him, in God, in Jesus Christ, for what he has done. It's not remembering Doug Gibney. I point you to this at every communion service. Do this in remembrance of me. Our faith should be done in remembrance of him, because you want to remember the things that I'm doing. Not a good example. So it's trust. He will never let us down. I don't know how I can say that in any other way or forcefully. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He knows us. Never. I'll let you down. What? But you're our pastor. I'll let you down. I guarantee if I haven't done it already, I'll do it someday before I step down from this pulpit. I'm just human. You've let somebody down. Somebody that trusted you. But I trusted. Well, I think that the Holy Spirit is trying to move us into a realm of trust. Not all these other things that we feel we can please God with. Trust him. And something I learned from my father at a very early age, John Gibney had a way of putting some lessons home to me. But trust is something that's earned. It's not something that you demand. You trust me or else. Why? How come you can't trust me? Well, you could probably give me a list of things. Trust is something that is earned, right along with respect. And God has done exceeding abundantly and above anything we can ever ask or think when it comes to the realm of trust. So last week we were in Hebrews. We learned about Enoch. We saw that Enoch had saving faith. And that's what the author, the Holy Spirit, is trying to tell these early converts to Christianity, Jews. He's trying to tell them in things that they already knew what faith really is and how they should conduct their lives on a daily basis. Every story that's in here, every one of these Jews knew these. These were the things that they grew up on. They knew all about it. And it's kind of like, we're not going to get to Noah today, but Noah, I think we can ask probably, you know, 5 years old maybe and up. Most children know who Noah was in a sense. Oh, he was the ark and the animals. And the early Jews, the early converts, they knew these stories. So now all of a sudden their rules and their rituals and their regulations that they were trying to please God under, now all of a sudden here this man is speaking these things to him, writing these things to him about what real trust is, you guys. And it wasn't religion. It wasn't this moral set of standards or codes that got the results that we're going to read here. It was faith in him who is faithful. Don't ever forget that. We let him down every day of the week. Don't beat yourself up, please. It's our humanness. It's our humanity. It's almost like a genetic trait that's been given to us. But that's the battle that we have to go through every single day. And God's banking on the fact that I'll never let you down because you're going to hold on to me. I'll never let you down because you know who I am. I'm never going to let you down because even though things went wrong, you trusted me. You trusted me. Wow. Is that how simple this faith really is? And I have to say yes, because the enemy of our soul is trying to lead us away from that, the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. So we saw Enoch was a picture of consistent, everlasting, saving faith, whatever you want to tag on to that. 300 years he walked with God. Well, 365 years he walked with our Lord. And he was a picture of the rapture. Now, you all got papers last week showing the rapture and the second coming. And I'd encourage you again, if you haven't looked at them, look for it. If you threw it in the garbage, go out to the garage and see if it's still there. I say that lightly. I had a friend once that I gave this salvation package to, remember? Because he never wanted to listen to me. So I wrote everything down. I said, just don't throw this away, whatever you do. And someday, open it and read it for me. And, just that'll make my heart warm. I found it in the trash, like within 10 minutes after giving it. Don't ever take anything too lightly when it comes to trusting the Lord in a way that he might move into someone's life. So today we're going to be in verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, open our hearts, quiet our minds. So much going on outside these doors. So much in our personal lives. Help us, Lord, to hear today just that one thing that might cause us to trust a little bit more than we did yesterday, that it might increase our faith to when the real trials and the tribulations of this world begin, that we'll be ready to stand. In Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 6, I look at that and this is really a biblical mandate. Do we understand that? He's making a statement here. It's kind of like without such and such, you don't, and I'm not going to say masks, although I said the word, right? No shoes, no shirt, no service, right? That's kind of a mandate. You're not coming in here without that. A mask, good. They were good. They had their purpose, whatever it was. I'm not sure, but they had their purpose. Without a mask, you don't come in here. You don't come in the hospital. I wore one when I went to the hospital, not too long back. You have to put it on. Those are mandates, and we respect them. Here I saw this week, Lord, this is a biblical mandate. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. And the mandate, it's kind of three ways, that one. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Wow, these are statements from God that I better open my ears up to. So we're seeing in Hebrews 11, 6, the necessity of faith and the result of faith as we look at it. Because faith, sometimes I prayed, I cried, I went to church, I did everything I could, and things just didn't happen. Maybe God's timing wasn't the same as my timing. It will happen. There is a reward that's coming. There is something that with this faith, God has these mandates that when you believe, as we're going to break down, there will be a reward that's coming. So I want to try to break that down so we see the necessity of faith and the result that faith has, not can have, but has. So God loves to be trusted. We've all had that, right? This is what pleases him, trusting him in a time when you can't see the end of the road, at a time that's so dark that it seems like there's no way out of this, in my understanding. That's when God shines beyond anything. And right now, as the word says, man doesn't see the bright light behind the clouds. Sometimes that our lives and the situations that come in and the things that assail us, they get so dark, even though it might be a beautiful day in Colorado, they get so dark we can't see God. And that's where God wants to bring us, I feel, in these days that we all have remaining. Trust. Let's put the past. Let's get that in its order, but let's move on now. Let's see what that trust can do in each one of our lives personally and what that can do for us as a church corporately. Why are we here? Why are we here? I'm sure everybody here, other than, this service, you have something to do. We're here to learn about God. Craig teaches it on Sunday morning. The ladies, the men teach it Saturdays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. That's the whole point and purpose. Why am I saved? What does God want from me? He wants me to trust him beyond anything and understand that he has earned that trust. He's not demanding it as a God that sits on the throne, just you worship me. Now get up and work. You know, who was it, those English guys? Monty Python, years ago, had a guy sitting on a mailbox. Oh, I'm going to make believe I'm God. Worship me. And the guy's going, oh. And he's going, oh, that's not good enough. More. That's not our God. Our God is quiet. Our God's right there. In the midst of all the noise that's going on in your life, God is just sitting there saying, trust me. That's all. And he's not saying, trust me or else. He's saying, trust me. And then we see the results. Put something in there. Turn to Psalm 13. I want to talk a little bit about trust first. These psalms are ones that I'd ask you don't get your feeding just from Craig or myself and the worship on Sunday. I think each and every one of us need to consume the whole plate. I don't know about you, but I remember mom saying, you finished that asparagus, so you're not leaving the table. Well, I think it got to be about 7:45 one night, and I was still sitting there because I wouldn't eat no asparagus. I can't make you eat your asparagus. But I'd encourage you, eat the whole plate that God puts before you. Not just a little sniglet. Not just a little sermonette. Consume it. Let it nourish you. Food nourishes our flesh, right? But the Word of God nourishes our spirit. You can't drink anything. You can't pour anything in there to nourish the Spirit of God, to get us to that spot in our lives. So Psalm 13, if you're there. Trust. So all of us have a reason why we shouldn't trust, right? I've been let down. I trusted. This happened. That happened. But we're talking about humans. We're not talking about God. So when it comes to trust this week, in whatever situation we might be assailed with, I'd ask us, go back to some of these. Hear the cries of the psalmist, if you would. This is a guy just like us. But you know what? He believed the promises of God. He trusted in God. But he was just like us, because if you look at 13, here's the natural man at first. How long will you forget me? Anybody ever, maybe you didn't say those words, but it's kind of like, come on, God. I've been praying for 15 minutes here. Come on, God, I asked you last week for this. He's just letting his humanness show in the trials that are coming in. And he had many of them, but I know every one of us in this room today have trials. We've got things that are assailing us, and we have these questions that come into our minds, and eventually it's the trickle-down theory. If we allow it enough up here, it's going to come down. It's going to hit it here. And then once it hits here, what happens next? It just comes up as verbal vomit, excuse me, and off we go. God is trying to get us to a point. And he got David and everything else here. So again, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? Till I die, maybe? Is that what's going to be? Maybe it might be. But here he is venting his heart. And I'd encourage us in our trust for the Lord, our trust that we're trying to increase, please, speak to him honestly. He already knows our every thought before we think it. He knows what we're going to speak. He knows, when we say, well, I don't know if this is going to work. Oh, Lord, I have trust in you. No, stop that. Give the Lord. He's dealt with bigger problems than anyone in this room, including me. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You ever have those feelings? I'm sure, but you know, if we're honest, yes. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I'm just going to die before I even see it. These are questions of the natural man. Four questions, four times in four verses, questioning God. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. There's people watching us as you read that verse 4. Least my enemy. And you know, sometimes the enemy is not just people. I say people are watching. And believe me, people are watching us, trying to see if this is real. Is what he's saying, is what she's saying real? I don't like to quote too many, but Mahatma Gandhi said, I too could have been convinced to be a Christian. If I saw them living what they say they believed. Ow. What a condemnation. What a condemnation. You can, oh yeah, but you know, hey, you know, Danny's not here, so I'll pick on you, okay? You know, Jim really hacked me off that time. You know, no, it's stop. People are watching. And when it says, least my enemy says I've prevailed, that enemy doesn't have to be a person either. It could be finances in a sense. That could be your enemy. It could be our health that's assailing us. That could be an enemy. But see, God isn't our enemy, and we're not each other's enemy. And that's what the Spirit of God is trying to tell us about this faith and trust. And then all of a sudden, David snaps out of it. Moonstruck. Snap out of it, right? A movie, if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to say watch it because it's Italian, it's not Irish, you know. Snap out of it. David all of a sudden snaps out of it, gets his head together. Like that's all we really need to do, because you and I guarantee you today, we're going to go home and we're going to start griping and complaining and mumbling and murmuring and moaning. Maybe not these same words, but the same thing. And all it takes is to just switch the light on. Whoa, whoa, that was me, Lord, forgive me. David says, but I have trusted in your mercy. Have you? Are you about to trust in his mercy? Trust beyond anything you can see, anything you can hold on to is what we're trying to absorb from the Spirit. But I've trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. When was the last time, if Publishers Clearinghouse came with the big check tomorrow, oh my God, Pat, come over here to the door, you know? When was the last time that my heart really, oh, we say, well, thank you for loving me, Lord. I don't understand why, but thank you. When was the last time? Here's David saying, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Now, that rejoice isn't just a little thank you, on fire about it. My gosh, no matter what man can do to me, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. I will sing unto the Lord. Oh, we sing on Sunday morning, bouncing ball, Skitch Henderson, Mitch Miller, follow the words. Next time, you know what you do? Close your eyes the next time that worship starts. Don't open them up and don't look at that wall and see if your heart is bringing up those praises, that worship. That we've been singing them, some of us, for 40 years, these songs. But without that, my mind doesn't really, oh, what was that next word? Try seeing where your heart is in this worship. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. As we're assailed this week in whatever it might be, please go to this. We're going to go two more. Maybe I'll never get to the sermon. Recall what the Lord has done for you. Please, recall what the Lord has done for you. Where did he bring Doug Gibney? Here I was at one time. And there was this long path all the way to here. But it's not over yet because I still got to go that way still a little bit. Remember what God's done for you. Remember what God has done to you. Remember what God has done for you. And then his promises that we haven't even begun to touch are still waiting for us, that he can hand that out to us in trust. You trusted me. You trusted me. And I know the human mind goes, yeah, but what about? What about that? Maybe this trust won't be seen, as we heard in Hebrews 11:1, right now. But if we trust in him, and that's what pleases him, and we have that salvation, we will see the goodness and the mercies of our Lord. Turn to Psalm 56. Trusting the Lord is what we're talking about. And you know, why would, and this is, there's probably 240 other spots that we can turn to about trust and belief and whatnot. These are ones that God brought me to this week in my wavering, if you want to call it that, in my lack of trust at points with things that come into my life. So I'm just sharing with you something that opened a door in my heart and my mind, and I pray it works with you. Maybe it'll lead you to another verse. But the psalmist again, and this is a, I like this because it's, I don't know if you have little things up at the top under Psalm 56. This was, it says a michtam of David. I thought, what's a michtam? A lot of these are instruments that we play on, but the definition of it was a golden psalm. These were songs. David had a golden record right up on his wall, but it wasn't up on his wall like today we mount golden records. It was in his heart. This was a golden psalm. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man. Now here, when you look at this, the world's doing a lot of stuff to us individually without our knowing it. There's forces that are, and there's ones that are going to move this whole scenario to where it's supposed to be. But be merciful unto me, O God, for man. And I'd say, because the world, the system, the whole thing that assails us every day as we walk out our doors would swallow me up. That's how much the world cares for a lot of us. Not the beauty of the world, the system, whose chief CEO is Satan right now. But see, even God's got him tethered. But this is, the world comes against us. It wants to swallow me up, fighting daily, and oppresses me. Mine enemies, now this is personal. You guys have enemies, and I mentioned this kind of before, and they're not always personal. They're not always people. It could be health, it could be finances, it could be children. These are the things that come, and our adversaries, including the devil, mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I'm afraid. Anybody afraid? Anybody? Let's be real. What am I afraid of? You know what sometimes I get afraid that maybe some of my family members aren't going to make heaven. Is it wrong to be afraid? I don't know. That's my humanness. But I'm afraid of that because I know hell's real. I don't know if hell is as real as heaven. And if I think about one of my loved ones not being there with me, screaming out in eternity, Poppy, help me, that puts fear in my heart. Amen. Puts fear in my heart. I need to trust him even more because this is what's going on every day. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust you. So I have to take myself and say, okay, I see this now going this way, Lord, but you see it going this way. And I have to trust, excuse me, in him because of three, what time I'm afraid. So I know one of us is going to be afraid. Two of us are going to be afraid by this afternoon, maybe more by tonight, afraid of something. All I can say is your pastor, trust him. That's where a shepherd looks and hears crabgrass, thorns, and thistles. Nope, we bring the sheep over here. green grass, little water trickling through. That's all I can do is lead you to that. And I'd ask you, trust him when you're afraid this week. In God, verse 4, I will praise his word. Oh, wait a minute. In God, I'll praise his word. Well, if we're not reading his word, how will I praise his word, number one? How will I trust him, number two? Now, what I'm talking about is not just a surface reading, one verse here, one verse there. I'm talking about, like Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel of God, the whole counsel of God. We need to read this from start to finish to get to trust him, because trust is earned. Remember that, not demanded. And if we don't read this, how do we know who he is? And if we don't know who he is, how can you trust somebody that you don't know? William, would you take this $100, please, and go put it in the bank for me on Monday? I would trust him without a thought. Just bring me the receipt. But now the next guy who walks by the church, hey, bud, would you take this $100 and give it to him? I don't trust him because I don't know him. We need to read everything from Genesis to Revelation, not just the things we like, the whole book that God gave us, jokingly, Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is what I need to know, because we're getting ready to sail. In God, I'll praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. These are God's promises. If I've made promises and I've broken them, right? God's not broken a promise yet. How can I trust him if I don't know him? I need to know him. Then what I trust is not what I can see, as we read in verse 1. I trust his promises. And I think that's where the church at large has, and myself included, I've failed. I'm still having my faith motivated, if you would, by what I see, what I can think, how hard I can keep pushing on this. Instead of, what did he promise? And if God promised it, it's yea and amen. Make his promises real to you. John 3:16, we all were saved, right? I believe that one. But do I believe that God is going to do this one? Oh, I don't know about that. Proverbs 3, again, I'll tell you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. Trusting him. What's his promises? Why? I've said this one, I'm sure, before. We look at the story of David and Goliath, and we try to apply that to our lives. We've all got a Goliath in front of us. Health, finances, marriage, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. We think David was a heck of a shot with a sling. We know that. But was it David and his sling and that one rock that took off and whacked him in the one vulnerable spot that the guy had? Was it that I can beat my enemies if I just perfect something? What David did to Goliath was because God made a promise. When people saw a little shepherd boy, and this little ruddy-looking kid coming up, standing against a 9-foot giant that laughed in his face, the reason why David was able to do what he did was because of God's promise, because God did it. End of my point. Not David, not you, not me. God had a promise. I'm going to make that man a king. So he couldn't let anything happen to him at any point in time until he fulfilled his promise of what was going to be done. Sometimes these promises, we don't know them outright. I wondered, did David really know he was going to be a king, Craig? You're the Bible study at that age when he whacked Goliath? No, but he did know God, and he did trust him. My God delivered me out of the paw of a lion. My God delivered me out of the mouth of a bear. Who is this Philistine dog? My God brought me from who I was, a New York City punk, who really didn't even know who he was, to the point I am today, and I still don't know who I am. I'll be very honest with you. I'll never forget telling my father I was lost. He grabbed me, put me in front of the, remember when the houses back in the 50s and 60s had mirrors everywhere on the walls, made it look bigger. He put me in front of it. He goes, "You ain't lost. There you are, right there, look." I still don't know who I am, but I know where I'm going, and I know who I have to trust in this life I've had. It's God's promises. It wasn't David. It's not you. It's not you. It's not us, Tom. It's not how much excitement we can build up. It's what did God promise?
And did David pick up 5 stones?
He picked up 5 because he knew the brothers were coming.
Yeah, he wasn't sure. You know, he wasn't sure.
What if I miss with one?
Yeah, I got another one.
Phew, that was almost like, I better not go there. Okay. In God, I'll praise his word. In God, I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. This is part of what we're learning today. In 6, verse 6, memorize it. Without faith, it's impossible at all is what that is. And it's impossible at all, no matter what we do, to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he's telling us right here. People are watching us. Shall they escape by iniquity in 7 and thy anger cast down the people, O God? Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? I'm going to pull this to a close. You know, we used to laugh about this because Tom, you know, the way he cries, we used to say, can you imagine when we get to the throne that God puts our tears in a bottle? That means, you know, it means he knows every tear that came out of these eyes for whatever the reason. He's got them. And he's got them in a book of remembrance. Read Malachi 3:16, somewhere in there. It talks about this book. There's not just the book of life. There's numerous books that sit before the Lord. But we used to laugh about Tom because he'd always cry just saying good morning. And we say, can you imagine before the throne when Tom gets there, there's going to be like all these 5-gallon water jugs all over the front. You know, that's Tom's tears. And then if he puts them in a book, they're going to be like this. But you know what? That's how much our God loves us. That's how much our God loves us. He's going to take every tear and he's going to have them in a bottle. He's going to have them, as he just said, are they not in your book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. And that cry is, no, come on, Lord, help me now. All of us have said that one. I was probably a mile out in a full wetsuit on Jones Beach surfing, lost my board, thought I was going to drown. Cried out to God, please save me. Don't let me die out here. I'll follow. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll do whatever you want. And as soon as I got to the beach, I opened up a Schaefer, figure out what those things are. No, no, no. When I cry from the heart, when God hears that heartfelt, he knows when we mean it. When I cry unto thee, then my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? So why trust me? Trust God. Trust God in his word and his promises. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I'll praise his word. Again, promises. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. Where have you put your trust? The IRA, the 401k, a bank account. No, say it, sister. I mean, that can be gone before we leave this building. Poof. But it was my life. No, it wasn't. Misunderstanding, humanness, my trust, my life, everything should be in him. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Please remember this week. Do we trust him this way? Has he delivered your soul from death? Every one of us are going to go out of here the same way, through death. We accept him. We don't die, we go from life to life, but we pass. Don't mistake that. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. It's either yes or no. He's either our Savior and our Lord, or he's going to be our judge. Wilt not thou deliver my feet? Now, this is important, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. So what? We just have a future tense given to us in trusting God. He's delivered me from death. That's why I can say without being humorous, I'm going to heaven. Are you? Are you? Are you? I'm going to heaven. Not because of Doug, but because of what he promised. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to trust that promise, as foolish as it might be. And if you think that's foolish, wait till we get to Noah next week if I get there. That's foolishness. But I'm going to trust him for the future. But the psalmist says, you will deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Right now. So it's here. It's not pie in the sky that you and I are believing in our faith, religion. It's a trust in an almighty God who is the only one who's capable of doing exactly that, keeping you and me walking through this life until he takes us to the next one. And our life should be manifest because I am walking before God in the light of the living. A lot of times we just walk in the light of ourselves, don't we? I love it. I've told you, I love eating down in Boulder, like at the Orchid Pavilion, because they had these great big windows. And right here, here's the window, right here is the table. And people would walk by and they'd go, you're walking in front of people. They're watching, Doug, is what the Lord's telling me. Stop worrying about what this looks like, this looks like, this looks like. You're walking before me. Is your life manifesting a trust in God that beyond our sight, our hearing, our touching, it shows God? Then we'll talk about it a little bit more next week. So, Father, as we go to your table, help us to remember this is about you. It's not what we've done or not done. It's not what we're about to do in the days coming, Lord, or not do. It's about your promises to us. Help us to praise you. Help us to hold tightly to you, Lord, and trust you as we go through each one of our own lives this week. Help us to see that your promises to us are going to be fulfilled, Father, here or there, nonetheless, that we might trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go to the table. Please don't let anything that is assailing you, assaulting you, causing doubt, keep you from the table.